Backseat Box Office, episode number 143, for the weekend of June 14th through June 16th, 2013.
Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. How's it going, Art?
It's going good. Wah, wah, no Lena.
Yes, Lena has other things to be concerned about tonight. She, to be honest, she has company, and she has important things to do. So she's letting the guys drive for this week.
Yeah, I think we're going to crash.
Mess it up. She's going to be editing, so it's all up to her. We just have to put good stuff on tape now.
Okay, I wish us luck.
So, Art, any movies, films?
I rewatched Maid of Honor. Maid in Manhattan. The Jennifer Lopez. Yeah, the J-Lo movie. Such a classic. You know, your kind of Cinderella story. I don't know. It just entertains me. And the little, her son, the actor who plays her son, he's just so adorable. So precocious is definitely the word. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I watched it, but that was all I watched. It just happened to be on. We weren't doing much. We let it run. How about yourself?
I was going to ask you a question about Maid in Manhattan. What about the supporting cast? Because, I'll be honest, I haven't seen Maid in Manhattan.
Okay.
Because that's also McConaughey, right?
No, it is not McConaughey. It's a guy who kind of looks like McConaughey, but not McConaughey. And I couldn't even tell you right offhand who that actually is.
No, that's all right. Because for me, the supporting cast makes those romantic comedies for me.
Well, I will tell you this, somebody who can absolutely make or break a film, Stanley Tucci.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
So he plays the male lead, what's that role? The guy who, the man behind the politician, you know, like your promoter, I forget the term, drawn a blank.
I think it just popped my head, campaign manager.
That is the term I am looking for, yes. He plays, it's Ralph Fiennes is the lead.
Okay.
And Stanley Tucci is his campaign manager. And the first scene, just the first scene between the kid and the love interest with Stanley Tucci there. And it's real early in the movie, so I'm not giving anything away if you ever do decide to watch it. But the kid is in the elevator, and he's got his headphones on. And the guy asks him, he's like, what are you listening to? He's like, The Best of Bread. And the kid's like 10, you know? And then he's like, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so, you know? And he goes, yeah, I know who you are. And he goes, oh, really? He says, who am I? And he starts explaining. He's like, you're, you know, a representative, yada, yada. You're thinking about running for this, you know? And he goes, I know your voting record. And you know, he starts spewing all this stuff out. And Stanley Tucci's character is like, who sent you? Who told you to ask these questions? What press are you with? And the kid's like, I'm 10. And it's a great scene. And it's full of little scenes like that. So I don't know. I enjoy it. If it's on cable and you got nothing better to do, it's worth a watch.
Okay, well, so let's get back to your question. I was gone. I was out of town. I was in the city of Las Vegas for the whole weekend. I could have had the opportunity to see Now You See Me and or The Internship.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't happen. And part of the reason it didn't happen, because I remember when we were there last year, because the particular casino that we stayed at had an 18 screen theater inside.
Okay.
And we, the first night we took the kids to see Kung Fu Panda 2,
mm-hmm.
which we all enjoyed, but there was a crying baby through most of the movie.
Oh, no.
And then the next night, we went to go see Hangover Part 2, and it almost seemed like the same crying baby was there during Hangover 2.
The crying baby conspiracy.
No. And, okay, so Kung Fu Panda 2, okay, that might be, you know, somewhat passable, but Hangover 2, really? Especially when the kid would not shut up during the scene with the transvestite prostitute? Look, come on! I know Vegas is a little more lax, but I was unprepared, and I didn't want to go through that again.
Yeah, I hear you. That could be really annoying. We have a theater out here by me. They do I think it's the first Tuesday of the month, they do an early morning show where, you know, people are invited to come with their kids and, you know, like really young kids. And it's like, so, you know, there's going to be crying, you know, there's people walking in and out constantly, you know, they keep the lights kind of up a little, and they supposedly tune down the sound a little bit. My experience did not match with that description entirely. I felt like the sound was still just as loud, but they did keep the lights up, and it was a nice experience. Not anything I can do all that often, because I don't normally have Tuesdays off. But when I do have a Tuesday off, and it happens to be the first Tuesday of the month, it's nice to know I can go take the baby, you know, and there'll be a bunch of other people there with babies too, and it's acceptable.
No, that's good. I think we have a discount theater over here that does the same thing. It does the same kind of thing.
Yeah. I just needed to talk to the manager, see if I can do it on Thursdays instead of Tuesdays.
Yeah. All right. So I think let's transition to how the box office did last weekend.
Okay.
And so Art will be reading, will be taking, this is usually Lena's deal. So Art will be taking this duty up for Lena. So go for it, Art.
All right. In number one, surprising many of us, including myself, we had The Purge coming in with $34 million. In number two, we had Fast and Furious 6 coming in with $19.6 million. In number three, we had Now You See Me coming in with $19 million. In number four, we had The Internship coming in with $17.3 million. Number five, we had Epic coming in with $11.9 million. And we're going to have to keep on moving a little bit. At number six, we had Star Trek Into Darkness coming in with $11.4 million. And then we had, in number seven, After Earth coming in with $10.7 million. And finally, bottoming out, we had, in number eight, The Hangover Part 3 coming in with $7.3 million.
Interesting. You know, I was surprised by The Purge being number one, and I picked it number one. So, all right. So let's talk about how the people that participated this week did. In number one, former host Scott pulled out a 24. The only movie he got wrong was Star Trek Into Darkness, probably clouded by the rage of Rio. He did not pick a number five. So he was number one. Number two is Kugron. Kugron had The Purge and in first, Fast and Furious 6 in second. He had The Internship at one. Now You See Me at, I'm sorry, Internship at three. Now You See Me at four and Star Trek Into Darkness at five. So he lost a point on Internship. He lost a point on Now You See Me and he lost a point on Star Trek Into Darkness. Next would be myself. I got a 21. I had The Purge correct at number one. I had The Internship at two, and that cost me 2 points. Now You See Me at three, which I got correct. Fast and Furious 6, which went up to two. So if I would have just flipped Internship and Fast and Furious, that would have been a 25, but shoulda, woulda, coulda. And then Epic at number five. Next, we have a little bit of a drop. We have four contestants at 14. So, Art, why don't you talk about how you got to 14?
Okay, well, I started off badly by putting The Internship at number one. That cost me 6 points. And I got Fast and Furious right, and I got Now You See Me right. And then I put The Purge at number four. and that cost me 3 more points. Had I flipped those two, that would have been a lot better. But like you said, woulda, coulda, shoulda. And then I got After Earth at number 5, and that cost me another 2 points for a total of 14. And yes, it hurts. It hurts a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, 9 points off of 2 movies, that is brutal. Okay, next we have Father Beast, who he also had a 14. He had The Internship, number 1, so he lost 6 points there. He had The Purge, a number 2, so he lost a point there. Now You See Me, he had correct in the 3rd spot. He had Star Trek Into Darkness at number 4, so he lost 2 points there. And he had After Earth, number 5, and he lost 2 points there. So he had a 14, which was a different road taken than Art. Now, two people took the same road for the same results. Mrs. Beast and Scuba Dave. They both had The Internship at number 1, so they lost 6 points there. They had The Purge at number 2, they lost 1 point there. They both had Fast and Furious 6 at 3, 1 point for that pick. At number 4, they had Now You See Me, so they lost 1 point there. And number 5, they had After Earth at 5, it came in at 7, so they lost 2 points there. So they both had a 14. And next, we have Nick, and we have a nice voicemail from Nick. So let's listen to that.
Hi, this is Nick. Number 1, I'm going with The Internship. I really think that the Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson vehicle will really put this one over the top here. It's a comedy. It's summer. From their 2005 film, Wedding Crashers, I just think that everyone's going to want to go and see it. It looks pretty funny. You know, working at Google, and the trailers actually look really good. So we'll see what happens. So yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, summertime brings out the comedy films, if you will. And that's why I believe The Internship will finish in number 1. Plus, who doesn't like Owen Wilson? You know, I mean, he's in everything, drama, comedies. Everyone seems to like him. He's not too annoying. Falling Fast and Furiously to number 2 is Fast and Furious 6, which is in the 2 spot. I wish it would not be on this list because I just think it's so damn cheesy. The people that go see those car movies are mostly douchebags. But yeah, I still think that, you know, the late teen kids will want to go and see that, and, you know, anyone else, that'll hold solid over there. 3, I'm going to go with The Purge. I just think, like, you know, a lot of those horror, mystery ones, they're pretty in the middle of the pack. It's only in 2,500 plus theaters. I don't think it's going to top Fast and the Furious. 3, I'm going to go, or excuse me, 4, I'm going to go with After Earth. This one I also wish wasn't on the list. The whole Jaden Smith thing just really burns me. I still think, you know, there's still interest in there, and they got a lot of advertisement out on it and promotion. And then 5, I'm going to go with Star Trek because, I mean, it's a Star Trek movie, and it's got to be out there for at least another couple weeks in the top 5. So, yeah, I even think Star Trek will take over, what is it, After Earth and Now You See Me and all that. Now You See Me, I didn't even put. I just think with the bad pub, it got panned. But it is an all-star cast, so I might lose some points on that. But anyway, that's my top 5, and I hope this was long enough for everyone interested in my...
Wow, that was a long voicemail.
We appreciate it, Nick. Hopefully, you know, hope you took my advice and you stretched before that. You didn't hurt anything, and we'll... Now the only bad thing is we're going to expect these magnum opus emails or voicemails from you, Nick.
You know what's really funny about that? We're both letter carriers for the post office. And Nick literally does go into the locker room and stretch before he leaves for the route. That's very funny. I'm going to bring that up when I see him on Friday.
I need to go to the track, seriously. So, so recapping Nick's score, he got a 13. He lost 6 points for the internship. He got Fast and Furious 6 right. He got The Purge off by 2, so he lost 2 points there. After Earth, he lost 3 points there. Star Trek Into Darkness, he lost 1 point for a grand total of 13. And then we have Lena.
Poor Lena.
Lena ended up with an 11. So the internship at 1, she lost 6 points. Now You See Me at 2, lost 1 point. The Purge at 3, lost 2 points. Fast and Furious 6 was off 2, so that's 2 points. And The Hangover 3 was off by 3 spots, and she lost 3 points there. So he ended up with a grand total, maybe a not-so-grand total, of 11. And
yeah.
The week 2 results of the participants. So now let's have Art run down the leaderboard.
Okay, so on the leaderboard, in first, we have Scott at number 1 with an average score of 24. In number 2, we have Cougaron with an average score of 22. Also tied with Cougaron is you, Jeff, for second place with 22 points as well. We have two people tied for fourth, Father Beast and Monty with 18 points. We have two people tied for sixth, me and BD with 16 points. We have Mrs. Beast in eighth with 15 points. We have Lena in ninth with 13.5. And then we have Nick and Scuba Dave tied for 10th at 13 points.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Art. And I just realized that we forgot to talk about the Paxi Box Office Art House picks for last week.
I was just going to bring it up right now.
No problem. So, of the four of us, being the three hosts and Father Beast, the three hosts had Much Ado About Nothing, which pulled down a per-screen average of $34,388. And Father Beast, the contrarian that he is, went with Syrup. Syrup was able to get $301. So those were the results for this week. So the totals for the 2 weeks that we've been doing the Backseat Box Office for this season, we have Lena, who's in first place at $53,646. Jeff and Art are both tied at $49,129. And then Father Beast is in third with $5,637. Okay, so we've talked about enough results. I guess now we can talk about what's going to be in the theater this weekend. So, Art, would you like to talk about Man of Steel, or would you like to talk about This is the End?
I guess I'll take Man of Steel.
Very good, sir. Please continue.
Okay, Man of Steel, 62% on the tomato meter. I am very surprised that is not higher. 97% of people want to see it. A young boy learns that he has extraordinary powers and is not of this earth. As a young man, he journeys to discover where he came from and what he was sent here to do. But the hero in him must emerge if he is to save the world from annihilation and become the symbol of hope for all mankind. Rated PG-13, 2 hours and 28 minutes.
Yeah, this is shaping up to be a whopper.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say, you know, without first watching it, but I think this is, you know, regardless of what you think of Superman, this has to be, you know, must-see territory.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Superman Returns?
I thought it was weak. Yeah, that was about the extent of it. And I was like, yeah, that was pretty sad. There was just, I don't know, it just really didn't drive me. It was too, I liked the people they had. I liked their portrayal. I think it was the story that really fell down.
Yes. I think I would 100% agree with it. To me, it just felt kind of forced, and it was a little overly complicated with him coming back and the son.
Yeah.
S-O-N, not S-U-N.
Right. No, I know. I understood.
We know that, CEO himself, Tony, is really excited about this, and I'll be looking forward to what he has to say about this, because he brings a lot of Superman knowledge.
Right. But I think a lot of the times people who are, and I don't think Tony's in this category, because he enjoyed the Green Lantern movie. He went to see it with his son, and he was able to enjoy it kind of vicariously with that sense of wonder. But I think a lot of people who bring too much knowledge and want too much of what the comic book character is, they're unwilling to accept, this different vision of it's a different media, it's a different vision. I think it was in the Backseat Producers in the Into Darkness episode, they were talking about, it's a different media. Not about Into Darkness specifically, just about comics in general. They got off topic and we're talking about something else. But just, when it's in different media, just accept that media for what it is. Don't expect it to be like the other media. Judge it on its own merits, not whether or not it stayed true to everything you wanted to see that's in the comic.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that is definitely a component of, evaluating a movie, at least for me, if you're going to review it, is the, level of fan service.
Right.
Is there going to be interesting parts of the movie for, like you said, people that are familiar with the source material?
Right.
Because, if theaters have their druthers, they want both. They just don't want to make a movie for people that have already seen Superman. They want everybody.
Right, absolutely, and you're writing a fine line. There's a certain amount of fan service that you have to do, but if you do too much, does it completely go over the heads of all the people who aren't as into it?
True. I'm just looking at some of the supporting actors. I just lost him. Tomo Pennicott, who was in the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, I guess is a small role. Small role in this movie. Also, Christopher Maloney from Law and Order SVU is in this. So there's that. And Stern playing Perry White.
Exactly. I was just going to bring that up, as we talked about before with the whole race bending, taking a character who's traditionally one thing and saying, hey, we're going to flip this over, and that's just the end of it. And I think that's pretty cool. And I like Lawrence Fishburne, so.
Yes, me too. All right, so let's switch gears a little bit to something a little less serious. The other movie that's coming out this weekend, and one movie that I'm excited to see, I just hope I get to see it in the theaters this weekend, This is the End. Comedy This is the End follows six friends trapped in a house after a series of strange and catastrophic events devastate Los Angeles. As the world unravels outside, dwindling supplies and cabin fever threaten to tear apart the friendships inside. Eventually, they are forced to leave the house, facing their fate and the true meaning of friendship and redemption. Rated R, 1 hour and 59 minutes. Starring James Franco, Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, Jonah Hill, Jay Baruchel, Craig Robinson. And this was written and directed by the same people that brought you Pineapple Express, Superbad. They also did Green Hornet, which probably isn't a plus one, more of a minus one. So what do you think, Art? You going to go see this in the theater, or are you going to wait for video?
I don't know. Okay. It is Father's Day weekend. So if there was ever going to be a weekend where I got out to see two movies, it would be this weekend. I don't know if that's going to happen, but there's a possibility.
Yeah. So the one review that caught my eye as I was scanning through the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, Richard Rober. This is one of the most tasteless, ridiculous, and funniest comedies of the 21st century. Just kind of a bold statement because we're not done with the 21st century.
Well, up until this point.
He's still got 87 years to go. Well, yeah. Anyways. I don't know, Art. What'd you think of Superbad?
I really enjoyed Superbad. It reminded me of the high school years for myself personally. I didn't see Pineapple Express or what else did you mention they had done? I enjoyed the Green Hornet. I didn't take it too seriously. I didn't see a lot of the TV show when I was younger because I was just a smidge too young.
Yeah, I never saw any of the TV series, and I haven't gone around checking it out. So I guess I shouldn't prejudge. But anyways, apparently there was a short film made in 2007. Called Jay and Seth versus the Apocalypse, which Jay Baruchel and Seth Rogen did, and I guess I kind of feel like this movie came about kind of how Hot Tub Time Machine came about, where they had a really good pitch meeting and they got the green light.
Okay.
Or maybe they got enough of some of the comedy up and coming stars. But plus I don't know how they got Emma Watson in this movie.
What else is she doing?
Well, we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So that's what you call a tease. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I guess we should get to picking. So it looks like I am going to go first.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay that way for a while.
Sure.
No, well, we'll see.
Just one good week, Art, and you'll be going first. What have you done lately?
I hope to be going first next week. How's that?
All right, Art calling a shot. I like that. All right. So, at number one, and an easy way to get an intervention by the house to your house is picking anything other than Man of Steel number one.
Yeah. I think this is one of those weeks.
So Man of Steel number one. Now I'm a little squeamish about putting This Is the End number two because The Internship, we've seen a string of comedies that have been done poorly their opening weeks. One exception to that was Identity Thief that stuck around for a long time. But I still think that, This Is the End is going to do enough to eke out a two finish versus The Purge. At number three, The Purge, it's probably going to drop like a rock, but usually when it trounces another movie that's got bigger stars in it, it's probably going to stick around for a while. Word of mouth might prop it up a little bit, so I'm going to put it to three. Now You See Me, I think it's still going to stick around. And I think this is the week that Epic is going to drop off the top five, and I'm going to put Furious 6 at number five. And for my indie pick, as I look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 indie movies, plus Midnight expanding into 600 theaters.
I
am going to go with a movie that is kind of... I haven't seen the trailer, but I've been hearing things about The Bling Ring, which it says the genre is crime comedy, so it's probably a little more funny than Spring Breakers. But a lot of people will probably, see Emma Thompson. Maybe they want to go see it. Who knows? I'm gonna see how The Bling Ring does.
Wait. Emma Thompson?
I'm sorry, Watson.
Yes.
Sorry.
I actually have seen the trailer. It does look interesting, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, also directed by Sofia Coppola.
Oh, I did not catch that.
So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if Art picks a different movie, if this will break the tie. And I'm done. Well, return Art.
Unfortunately, I am, for the first time, going to go with a big fat double ditto on you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
You read all my picks all the way down right to the indie pick.
Well, that is 2 weeks in a row, so that's not too unheard of. Okay, so that is a shortened pick segment. So how about we?
Yes, it is.
To news. Do you have any news for us?
Let's see here. First off, I want to double back real quick to Man of Steel. You know how last week we were talking about how the big media push was kind of making you wonder whether or not the movie was going to be a stinker,
mm-hmm.
or something to that effect. Monday night, in my gaming group, the guy I went to see Iron Man 3 with, I went with two guys. So one was my buddy Tony here. One was my other buddy Moe's. And Moe's posed that exact same question. He looked around the table and he was like, you know, they've been really pushing this movie a little too hard. Does anybody think it might suck? And I did a double take and I was like, what? I just heard that. So somebody else is jumping on that bandwagon of...
Well, I think it's just... There's two factors going on here. Actually, there's really only one factor, and it was actually one of the news stories I was going to bring up. Hollywood Reporter had an article that the Superman reboot has 98 corporate partners.
Wow.
98. Sears, Mattel, Gillette. I don't know if you've seen the billboards for how does Superman shave kind of thing.
How does Superman shave? Yeah, I haven't looked into that at all. Have you heard anything about this?
I haven't taken the bait and looked at any of these ads.
I haven't either.
Chrysler's going to have... They're going to have a Man of Steel. Says in the UK, Chrysler is offering two new series of vehicles inspired by Man of Steel. The S series comes with oversized black alloy wheels, a dark steel grille and interior accents, and a matte black roof and hood. You just kind of pull back a little bit when there is such a lateral, they're just covering the whole field, is it just a commercial movie?
Well, they've got a lot of money invested. I can see them trying to recoup as much as they can.
Which we probably have Mr. Lucas to thank.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least he was in product placement.
True.
It makes me think of, have you seen Mystery Men?
Yes.
Greg Kinnear's character with the Pepsi sponsorship.
Yes.
You know, if it was really bad, they could just, he's got the red and blue suit. Could have got a Pepsi sponsorship going on there. Mm. Little Pepsi logo instead of the S.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, there's also another article about basically, Man of Steel tracking strong, but how strong? And I think I said 100 million last week, but I'd be surprised if it was lower than 100. It might be right above 100, but I think there's not really. I don't think there's any other superhero movies this summer.
I don't know.
Wolverine, the end of July.
There you go.
Speaking of corporate synergy, we went to Chili's. We went to Red Robin yesterday, and Red Robin has a Berserker burger, and the picture is just Wolverine's extended claws with a burger on the end of it.
Okay.
So it's, there isn't anything really special or unique about, but there's Wolverine posters all over the restaurant. So it's not like Superman's the only one.
Mm, Kick-Ass 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's kind of, I don't know if I count that. Well, you can count that as a superhero movie, but it's kind of outside the Marvel DC universe.
Well, that doesn't make it any less. I mean,
No, I understand. What? It's going to be. I think there's less of an audience that knows about Kick-Ass as opposed to Superman.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Okay, you're just talking about really big. I mean, but it's also a sequel, so that there's going to be a certain inherent, you know, more people go see it. Yeah, I think that's it. Thor.
Oh, yeah, that's also being a sequel, but that's outside of summer.
Oh, it's outside of summer, but you said this year. So I was running off to the end of the year to see what popped.
Yeah, okay.
And December has nothing. Okay. Two other tidbits. I mean, because there are other comic book movies, depending on how you... want to frame a comic book movie. You could definitely, if you don't want to put it in the superhero genre, you definitely got to put Kick-Ass 2 in the comic book genre.
No, I would definitely put it in the comic book genre. But I'm kind of thinking of, you know, box office close.
Yeah, blockbuster, yeah. No, I hear you. Okay. Red 2, another comic book.
Okay.
Did you see Red?
Yes, enjoyed Red.
I loved Red.
Another movie that I think was enhanced by John Malkovich.
Yes.
He was great. And it was Helen Mirren, correct?
Yes, Helen Mirren, yeah.
You don't see a lot of her caliber actresses lugging around an AK-47 or whatever that weapon was.
Well, she had so many weapons throughout that. She was the wet work specialist.
Oh, yes.
She had the sniper rifle on the outside of the one guy's estate. She had several different weapons all over the place.
Yeah, and Carl Urban was in that one, too.
Yeah.
He was really good.
He was really good.
No, I haven't seen Doom, but I don't think that there's a movie that he's in that I haven't liked.
Doom was a little weak. It was just an action romp. If you went into it with your brain totally turned off and you just wanted to see things get blowed up, it was good for that. But other than that, it wasn't really well received. Two other notes to make. And now that I look at what I've written down and I think about it in my head, I feel like I'm the minority guy who's harping on something. But okay. They caught my eye at the time and I wrote them down. Have you seen anything for Dwayne Johnson's Hercules?
No, I have not seen anything about Hercules.
Okay, yeah, they're doing a Hercules movie and Dwayne The Rock Johnson is playing Hercules. So go out there, dig around. I've seen some stills. I don't think there's any trailers yet. There's definitely a lot of stills coming out.
Interesting.
Yes. And then have you heard anything about Spider-Man 2? The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I've only heard of the casting for the two villains.
Okay. So, yeah, I just heard about the Electro, Jamie Foxx.
Yes.
So I thought that was good. I have not heard about the other villain. What's the other villain and who's cast?
Paul Giamatti as the Rhino.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting. So
going back to the emo Spider-Man 3 that had two supervillains, I'm a little concerned about the two villains. But we'll see if they've learned from past mistakes.
Well, but no, it wasn't two villains. It was three villains.
Right. Right. Yeah. All right. So that's even more than I thought.
Yeah. So I think they can pull it off, especially if, okay, one of these guys needs to be more minor. One of these guys needs to be either A, taken out quickly, or B, set up for the third movie.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back if that has been done well previously. I don't know.
If you want to go back to Spider-Man with James Franco, he was in the first movie and then, you know, he got set up for later on down the road. So if they're just
that was a big arc though.
So what's your point? Well, I don't care how big the arc is, just make it an arc.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying having the origin story for a villain taking two movies and then him, you know, emerging in the third movie. That's a lot of foresight.
But I think that's what you need.
Right. I'm not disputing that wouldn't be a good thing.
Right.
Disputing is Hollywood savvy enough to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
The more bank that these movies are going to make, the more bad decisions that are going to be made by the bean counters.
I disagree. Look at what Marvel's done with the Avengers. I think if they look at that model and they really look at it hard and see what they've done right and what they've done wrong, they can make it better. They can rebuild it.
Well, let me ask you this about Avengers, though. Did you know that the only thing that was kept from Joss Whedon's original script was the interrogation scene with Black Widow?
I did not know that.
He had to rewrite the entire movie because I think he got noted to death that this needs to go, this needs to be changed, or we can't do that kind of stuff. Now, this is just hearsay, and I don't have any proof.
Right.
But I remember seeing an interview that the only thing that they liked, or they let them keep in the movie, was the interrogation scene with Black Widow and those Russians.
Right, right.
But if they would have let him do that, maybe Joss would have tried to kill all the Avengers. Who knows?
Yeah, but I just mean as far as you've got this arc of the story, you know, you've got all these little pieces that are arcing into a bigger whole, so that it's like, okay, we're going to take a story, we're going to tell it here, and we're going to continue it over there. You know, that's all I'm talking about, is just start something in one place and finish it somewhere else.
All right, so let me bring up one of the news articles, because I think it's germane to what we're talking about right now.
Okay.
So Joss has been doing the press circuit, promoting Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
So, but he is also answering questions about Avengers 2. And one of the questions that came up is, are we going to see any of the Avengers in Guardians of the Galaxy? Because I think Guardians of the Galaxy is scheduled to come before Avengers 2.
Okay.
And he said, there isn't, none of the Avengers are going to, because, you know, we've been hearing in Captain America that Falcon and Black Widow are going to be in Captain America. I haven't heard anything about if there's going to be other heroes in Thor other than Sif, if you count her another hero. Right. But I've been hearing some talk from the next X-Men, Days of Future Past, that Quicksilver is going to be in that one.
Yeah, I've heard Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch. Now, which would mean, because we've been hearing about how they can't, anything that was introduced with like Fantastic Four can't be in a Spider-Man movie. By the same token, anything that came up with Spider-Man, I don't think can show up in the Avengers because they sold all the rights separately.
They sold the rights separately.
Yeah, anything from X-Men can show up in the previously mentioned three, you know, movies. But it seems like Quicksilver is going to be, from what I've seen, is going to be in Avengers, and he's going to be in X-Men.
Right. Well, so here's the thing. It's because both Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch have been both an X-Men and an Avenger. they've been in both comics as, you know, key characters at one point or another. So when they bought the rights to the X-Men, they got the rights to use characters that had been in X-Men comics. And when they bought the rights to the Avengers, they got the rights to use the characters that had been in the Avengers comics.
Right.
What the sticking point is that in the Avengers, they cannot refer to them as mutants because they got the right to the whole mutant side of the X-Men story tied up in the other studio. So, but I don't remember who was talking about this. Once again, might have been Backseat Producers. I listen to so many podcasts, I can't keep them all straight in my head when I go to talk about them later. But the X-Men movie is going to come out before the Avengers movie.
True.
So we will already have these characters established. Now the real question will be, will the studios look to get the same actors to cash in on that carryover, or will they just cast two completely different, you know, people?
Now, also germane to our conversation, apparently Thanos will make an appearance in the next, in three more movies.
Right.
Being Guardians, Avengers 2 and Avengers 3. Sue me if that's a spoiler, people.
Nah, I think it was a given, and I was just about to go there myself. With the, that's your tie-in for Guardians will be Thanos.
Right. Right. There's one last paragraph, but I'm going to, just to be safe, I'm not going to mention it. Okay. So I think we talked about that enough. What did we hit all your news?
We hit all of my news points. The only other thing I wanted to mention was, what other podcasts do you listen to? Do you listen to any of the other Backseat Producers, Backseat shows?
And I know that I need to check out Backseat Book Club because they did one of probably my favorite book that I've read in the last 5 or 6 years, Ready Player One.
Okay.
First episode for Backseat Book Club. I've listened to probably half of Backseat Quickies.
Okay.
I listened to Backseat Reality.
Back in the day. Have you listened to the latest one?
I haven't listened to the latest one. One thing for me, I've had a lot of good shows stomped under the heel of Reality, so I avoid Reality whenever I can.
Okay.
So if you're looking for intelligent discussion of one kind or another about Bachelorette,
no,
you're not going to find it here.
No, I'm not looking for that from you at all. I was just curious if you listened or not. See, because I listen to everything. They drop it, I listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I've got a lot of time to fill. But I was listening to Backseat Reality, and I'm calling Tony out. Because Tony, and I sent this in the voicemail, because I sent them a voicemail to give him some feedback on the show.
And give you more room so you can, you know, stretch your wings, Art. Go ahead.
Okay. He called Gladiator a terrible movie. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I will say terrible, no.
Okay. I really enjoyed that movie. But to call it terrible, a terrible movie, I was offended. I was insulted. I don't even know what else to say to that. He also, okay, now this one's probably going to get me in trouble, but The Notebook. He called The Notebook a terrible movie. And I, you know, okay, Nicholas Sparks, yeah, it's not for everybody. But out of all of his movies, The Notebook is such a good movie. I mean, it just really just grabs you by the heart. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. But he talked about two movies in the entire Reality podcast, and they were both terrible. Why does Tony hate movies?
Well, there is a peripheral question.
Why do I love movies?
No. Because that would be an opposite question. What I mean is, it's kind of, why does Tony hate Reese Witherspoon? Because there's another, you know, what, I've had a Skype conversation, a long Skype conversation, about Sweet Home Alabama.
I like that movie. But Reese Witherspoon is so cute and adorable and perky. How do you not like her?
I would agree. I would agree. There have been some movies that, you know, I think they were average, or they might have been phoned in a little bit. Sweet Home Alabama it was okay. Let me ask you this. Did you see This Means War?
I did not see This Means War, and I really wanted to. And I would definitely, I should definitely just give that a rental.
That was, I think that was our last date movie, me and the missus.
Okay.
And, you know, we both enjoyed it.
Chris Pine
and Tom Hardy. And my wife left the movie, left the theater as a much bigger Tom Hardy fan than a Chris Pine fan. And she's like Chris Pine from Princess Diaries 2, because Chris Pine was one of the scenes in Princess Diaries 2.
I remember that.
Just because it's, you know, if you stay home and watch ABC Family, probably every third weekend you'll see it on.
I'm looking at, they're doing a new Mad Max movie. Interesting. And he's playing Max.
So, let me ask you this, since we're talking about Tony.
Okay.
Do you know what is probably the most highly regarded, I don't want to say highly, how am I going to frame this? Probably one of that would show up in every top 10 geek movie list, and that Tony did not appreciate at all, and he thought it was a terrible movie. Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah. I do remember him talking about that. I do remember thinking at the time that I should get into a fight with him about that. Yeah.
It's a textbook example of, you know, seeing a movie post-hype.
Okay.
You're going to love it. You know, it's so funny, and, you know, this is so funny, and, you know, you just, you know, human nature, he said, you just want to, you know, not like it, I guess. I don't know. Kind of like if you listen to when the guys reviewed Argo.
Right.
You saw Argo after the Oscar nominations. You probably didn't like Argo as much as if you did before it got any awards or anything.
I don't know. I don't think I'm like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park was huge. It was, you know, a juggernaut. You know, everybody was watching it. It, you know, spawned, what, two sequels? Two sequels. You know, neither of which was as good, but whatever. Two sequels that we know of. Yeah. I didn't see it until many, many years later, after, you know, all the hype had come and gone, and I watched it. I'm like, that was incredible. Why didn't I see this sooner? You know, and it just didn't work out. It came out at a time when I just wasn't going to the theater, blah, 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 whatever. So I don't know. I don't think hype doesn't affect me. If I like a movie, I like a movie. What everybody said about it doesn't matter. It's like, did I enjoy it? Did it entertain me? So, I don't know. Yeah, Princess Bride, that's another one on the list.
Yeah,
Tony. What are we going to do with Tony?
Yeah, well, I don't know. If he did like those movies, he wouldn't be Tony.
Okay, so, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Okay. So, kind of building on excitement about Dwayne Johnson as Hercules. He's been kind of a sure thing lately.
I would agree with that.
So there's this article that I found at Entertainment Weekly, and the headline is, do you know The Rock has had a top 10 movie for 15 straight weekends? Which is probably up to 16 now, because Fast and Furious 6 was still in the top 10 last time I checked.
Right.
So here's the rundown of his movies being in the top 10 for the last 15 weeks. if you start in February, last week of February, Snitch was number two. And then first week of March, or I'll just run through March, Snitch, number four, then number five, then number six, then number 10. And then the weekend of March 29th through the 31st, G.I. Joe came out. And it was number one, number two, number four, number five. And then April 26th, Pain and Gain came out. Pain and Gain was number one, number two, number three, number four. And then Fast and Furious 6 came out, and it was number one, number one. And then I think the past
five
went down to two.
Oh, right, right.
So he's going to, yeah. He could be in the top 10 until Hercules comes out.
No, it's 2014.
No, I'm just ridiculous. But anyways, but yeah, he's having, you know, like the article said, he's having a better summer than you are.
Yeah. And then if you look at 2014, he's got Hercules coming out. He's got Arabian Nights coming out. He's playing Sinbad. He's got Fast and Furious 7 coming out.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, these are all marked as pre-production, slated for 2014. They're doing another Journey movie, Journey 3, From the Earth to the Moon.
Did you see the second Journey 2?
I did not see the second Journey.
I have a very good story time story about that movie, but I think I'm going to save it for a later podcast, because I want Lena to be present when I tell this story.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Okay, so just to recap, you were done with news because I have my last story here?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember the Choose Your Own Adventure books?
Oh, yes. Lone Wolf?
Do you have any of them?
I think I still have two.
Apparently, 20th Century Fox is nearing a deal to acquire the rights to Choose Your Own Adventure so they can start making Choose Your Own Adventure movies.
Interesting.
So it all started back in 1975 when Edward Packard originally came up with a concept, and he tried to get it take off, but nothing really happened. And then he partnered with R.A. Montgomery. And they had modest sales, and then they made a deal with Bantam Books in the late 1970s, and then the series became a huge hit.
Yeah.
The line went on to last until the late 1990s with over 180 titles and 250 million books sold worldwide. And then at one point, I don't know the year, but these two gentlemen parted ways because Packard kept the right to his books, and he's creating what's called U-Ventures, which are storytelling apps.
So yeah, I've heard about it.
Mobile.
Right.
But just last night, I read to my 12-year-old, we read some Choose Your Own Adventure.
Very nice.
So, I remember reading them. And I blew through them because I didn't read all the fluff. I just wanted to see what happened when I went down the forks of the story. So who knows, you know, if anything's going to happen with this. But I'm really interested to see with mobile technology nowadays, if they could work out a way where people can actually choose their own branches. I don't know.
Oh, I think it could be very easy.
I mean, kind of like how, in a minor way, it's kind of related to, you know, remember Clue had different endings?
Yes.
Yeah. Something probably a little more involved in that, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they, okay, it's not... There was the Choose Your Own Adventure line. There's another line, because I had two of those, but there was also the Lone Wolf series. Yep. Lone Wolf Game Books. There it is. And this was 28 game books created by Joe Denver in July of 1984. Hmm. Sold more than 9 million copies. Went out of print in 1998. Then those went on to be distributed online via the internet. Strong revival during 2000, 2007. In 2007, Mongoose Publishing announced that all the books that were never published were going to be printed again. There were four more books. And they also did a D20-style role-playing game from Mongoose Publishing.
Yeah. Mongoose, that's the they released Traveler?
They re-released Traveler.
Re-released Traveler, yeah.
They did the, basically, fourth edition. Mm. Because Traveler now has a fifth edition coming out from Mark Miller. It was Kickstartered.
Right. Okay, well.
So, yeah. That was the other series that I was interested in the choose-your-own-adventure style.
So that ends my movie news. And I had one question for you, Art.
Okay.
It's kind of ventures outside the realm of movies. Okay. Back when I first started listening to podcasts, there was a podcast called Podcast 411, where they interviewed different podcasters, and he basically asked the same kind of questions, and I remember the first two questions, and usually if I run into someone on Skype, I like to ask them these two questions. So okay. Question number one, first computer that you had, what was it?
A TRS-80 from Radio Shack with a cassette tape drive.
Wow. And whatever happened to it?
Oh, disappeared in one of the moves. I think when I moved out to California, it got left behind at somebody's house, and then I was never able to reclaim it.
And what was the best thing that you did with that computer?
Oh, I just played games. Because I was in grade school. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did some programming, you know, just very, you know, basic. I don't know, is there something pre-basic?
No, I think around that time, everyone was doing basic of some...
Some form or other, yeah. So, that was my first computer.
Okay, and then question number two, what was the first podcast you listened to?
Oh, that's hard. I don't remember. Because I found podcasting, and when I found it, I had already had this job. Okay, so I got a Nano for... I don't know, my birthday or Christmas or something, and I wanted to do just music, but when I loaded up iTunes onto my computer, you know, I saw this podcast thing. I'm like, oh, what's this? And I start looking at it, and I had been out of role-playing games for a while because I was married. I am no longer married, but I had gotten married, and, you know, she saw those games as a waste of time, and so I slowly drifted out of that group and stopped playing and yada yada yada, and I let it happen, whatever. But so I figured I'd look into podcasting, look into what was going on in RPG. So they were all RPG related to start. So it was one of, I listened to Dragon's Landing, I listened to All Games Considered. I listened to, it was, I am drawing a blank.
That's
but
okay.
There was, Geek Core Radio. They are based out of the south side of Chicago. And I had listened to a bunch of episodes, and they referenced the local power company. That's how I figured out where they were. Because they started talking about the local power company. And I'm like, oh my God, these guys are local. And by the time I caught up with the show, because when I find a show I like, I start at the beginning. By the time I caught up with the show, they had pod faded.
Yeah. The approach. I used to do that.
So, yeah, I used to listen to Geek Radio Daily. What was some of the other ones? So I listened to a bunch. I mean, I literally typed into the search engine RPGs, and then I typed into the search engine Geek, and then I just started downloading like crazy. And, you know, with 8 hours to fill a day, I just started chewing through stuff. So yeah, I don't even remember which one was exactly first.
Yeah,
but there were a bunch.
You know, 40 hours a week, that's a lot of podcasts, man.
It is. I mean, I can tell you right now, let me open up my iTunes. When I hit the podcast tab, there are 4,482 items, 165.5 days worth of listening, 182.56 gigabytes of space. That's what podcasts are taking up on my computer right now.
See, when I first started listening, I had to go CDs.
See, I didn't even discover them until I already had an iPod.
I didn't have an iPod.
Right.
And then I think there was one that I listened to that wouldn't fit on a CD because it was over the 80-minute limit.
Right.
And then I was in the market for a new car, and I said, I need an audio out or no.
Right.
Because I actually, in that current car, I actually changed the stereo that had an audio out, and I will never do that again because I did it myself.
Gotcha.
So I've had Nissan Altimas ever since, and they had, you know, they give you the cord, none of this Blu-ray stuff. Oh, I'm sorry, no Blu-ray,
right.
Bluetooth.
Right.
So yeah, so then it was iPod, and now, you know, last year I got a smartphone. I guess it was 2 years ago, and now I had an iPod Touch first generation that I don't even use anymore.
Okay.
So I do it all through the phone now.
Yeah, I still carry both the phone and an iPod Touch. So, and I need to upgrade my phone.
I don't know. You should. I think you run that original Droid into the ground.
It's not into the ground, but it's like, it's one of those balloons that's kind of, it keeps touching the ground, and it goes a few more feet, and it touches again.
How long you have that phone?
I think I've had it almost 5 years now.
Is that a Motorola product?
It is the original Motorola Droid.
Yeah. Yeah, because I have the Droid Bionic, which came out 2 years ago, which was right before Motorola got bought by Google. But we're probably going to be up to redo our contract.
My contract is up, and I am looking hard at T-Mobile.
Yeah, you know, that it's an interesting question because I know I have a coworker that he's done with Verizon. And actually, Will Wheaton on Google Plus is kind of going through the same thing, and he basically just put a call out to what everybody has. And they're all over the place, but I see a lot of T-Mobile, even more than Sprint, which I was surprised about. But we're going to, my wife is kind of clamoring for a smartphone, and my daughter is going to be needing a smartphone, so we're going to go phone the three phones pretty soon.
Right.
Cut some corners a little bit.
Okay, here it is. The Droid came out October 17th, 2009. So there's no way I've even had it 4 years. It feels like forever, but it can't even be 4 years yet. So it's coming up on 4 years this October because I got it very shortly after launch. But yeah, I'm cutting the contract. It's my day off tomorrow. I'm probably gonna go look at phones. I just got my have I told you before I'm the union steward at the post office?
No.
Yeah, I'm the union steward. And so I get a very, very small pittance for being the union steward. But I just got that check today. And so a little extra money in the bank, good time to go look at phones.
Well, as a local government employee, I know we get a 15% discount.
Yeah, I do get a discount for being a postal employee. Most, I don't know about T-Mobile. I've never had T-Mobile. I've had AT&T, I've had Sprint, I've had Verizon, and they have all had a government discount.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'll be interested to hear what you decide, because ours comes up in September.
Yeah. I don't know, have you heard about T-Mobile's new, how they're doing things?
No.
They are going no contract.
Mm-hmm.
They have a total scalable tiered system, you know, how many minutes you're using, how many texts, how much internet, and if you exceed what your usage is, they just automatically bump you to the next tier. If you're underseeding your usage, they automatically bump you down a tier. This is what I've been told. I have not actually gone in and researched this, but I have a buddy who works for Apple, and I was telling him my contract was up, and I was thinking about an iPhone. Who did he recommend? And he explained this whole new system. They don't give you a contract, but then they have you pay full price for the phone. You don't have to pay it all up front. They will break out the payments over the course of a two-year time. If you pay for the phone up front, it's yours to do whatever you want. But there's no contract attached. If you terminate early, the only termination fee is to pay the balance of the phone. So if you buy if you go with the iPhone, it's like $40 a month for 2 years, which works out to like $20 a month for 2 years, $480. And if you opt out early, you just finish up the balance on the phone, take the phone with you wherever you go. If you bought a cheaper phone and, you know, you opt out at any time, you're gone, you're done, no problems. And just, I like the scalability of it. If you're using more, they just bump you to the next tier. If you're moving less, they bump you down. I look at him and I'm like, what am I missing here? This sounds like the new hotness. And he looks back at me and he says, I really think this is one of those moments where they are stepping forward and everybody else is going to have to follow their lead to keep up.
Yeah, well, Verizon kind of did that when they started limiting your data usage. Because when Verizon said that we're going to cap you at 2 gigabytes at the lowest price point, at that point, AT&T had unlimited and Sprint had unlimited.
Right.
And Verizon, you know, they'll grandfather you if you were on unlimited before they did that. And
yeah.
It's 2 years ago. And I remember because just that happened just before I was going to get a phone. And then Verizon this year has now, you know, their pricing now, it's just data. You get free minutes, free text. They don't care about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
All you're paying for is there's a family data plan for everybody. Because right now I'm paying like $30 for my data plan, and on the old system, if I bought two more phones, it would be another $60 for just the data plans. Not
right.
Mention the texting, because you know I think I'm paying like $5 for texting, and then whatever the minutes is. But now they don't care about any of that. But I still think probably go up if I went from one phone to three phones under the new plan. I'm still probably going to go up about $30-$40.
Right.
And I can get a phone for about $200. It is probably the Galaxy S4 or the latest Motorola one, which I think is the Razer M or something like that.
Right.
I really want the Google Nexus phone.
Okay.
But you can't get that through Verizon.
Oh, I gotcha.
Well, because see, the thing about Verizon likes putting their crappy software on their phones.
Yeah.
Google doesn't want that at all. So Verizon and Google have agreed to disagree, so you're not able to get Nexus 4 on the Verizon network.
Now,
go ahead.
What's attracting you to the Nexus 4?
What's attracting me to the Nexus 4 is that we have the tablet Nexus 7.
Oh, okay.
I think it's going to be a very easy transition for my wife to go from a tablet to a smartphone if she's used to the interface.
Right. Okay. Very true. Very true.
My daughter, she has an iPod. She probably will be getting an iPhone because she knows how to use an iPhone.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens. There's nothing wrong with my phone, but I know I'm kind of missing an opportunity if we end up switching carriers on me being able to get a new phone. But the thing is, last 6 months ago, the software on my Android is called Dog Catcher that downloads all the podcasts for my phone.
Okay.
And so it hung up. So I went into my system settings, and all I wanted to do was to stop the software from running. And my elbow slipped, and it hit uninstall.
Oh, no.
So I lost the 40 podcasts I was catching with that thing. So I had to start from scratch. So I know there's some that are missing.
Yeah.
But it's going to take me a while to set up. It's going to take me a while to set up the phone if I get a new one.
Right. See, that's why I'm a Mac user. That's why I'm really leaning towards the iPhone, because it will just integrate so seamlessly. I'm so used to using the iPod. Brittany has an iPhone. So that's why I'm leaning in that direction.
Yeah, it's kind of like I get, being an IT guy at my work, I always get the questions about, should I get cable or should I get a satellite? Or should I get an iPhone or should I get an Android? And it kind of depends on what you have already.
Right.
If you have an Apple at home, or a Mac, excuse me, you probably, get an iPhone because they're very complementary.
They play nice together.
Yeah. I mean, because, there's an Apple or there's an app store for your computer, and there's also an app store for your phone.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have Windows at home, normally you would say, well, you should get a microphone, a phone, but you're never going to hear it. No one with a normal blood alcohol level. But now it's kind of like, Android and Windows. So, it's hard,
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Just a quick story about how nice the Mac and the iPhone play with each other. Brittany hadn't connected her iPhone to the computer in ages. And she had something like, I don't know, I want to say it was close to 1,000 photos, like 3 months of photos of the baby on the phone that she had not downloaded in forever.
Oh my God.
So she connects it to the phone, she connects it to the computer, and it starts downloading, and it's such a big download that there ends up being a hiccup. Yeah. And the phone gacks. The phone loses its crap and blanks.
Oh, no.
And she is in absolute panic. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, relax. I mean, if they're gone, they're gone. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm like, let it finish what it's doing, and we'll see where it's at. She is just absolutely at her wit's end because it's 3 months of photos, and she's like, 3 months of the entire baby's life, gone, just gone. I'm like, no, it's not that bad. I'm like, you send me pictures all the time. There's pictures on my phone. We're not going to lose them all. I know you don't send them all to me, but you send me plenty. You're not losing a chunk of her life. It will be fine. So the thing finishes. The phone is completely blank. There is nothing on it. And then when it gets done, it says on the computer, do you want to restore everything onto the phone? And I click yes. And it had, before it started anything, it had, I don't know how it did it, but it had a copy of everything that was on the phone. And it put it all back on there. All the pictures were back. And then it downloaded everything onto the computer and nothing was lost. I was okay. Now, here's your lesson. Don't wait 3 months to connect your phone to the computer to download pictures.
Yes.
Once every couple of weeks. So she learned a lesson, and they just, like I said, they play nice together.
Yeah, we had a staff at work. Their hard drive crashed, and they didn't back anything up. And he said, it's a disaster if we lose this stuff. So there's a place out here where you could send a hard drive.
Right.
To have them take a look at it. But just for them to look at it is like $375.
Yeah, they know they got, you know, when they got you by the short and curlies,
yeah,
they're going to do whatever they want.
Yeah, and if they were going to go forward, I mean, it's like $1,500 for them to do recovery, but they said no, it's the drive head crashed the platter, so there's nothing they can do about it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's a, you know, back up your stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a big hard drive that I plug into my computer regularly.
Yeah.
And I don't even keep anything that important. The most important thing I have on the computer is the pictures. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I have about 12 years of pictures, and my desktop has two hard drives in it, and then I have an external hard drive, and then all those pictures are on the laptop. So even if the lightning hits the house, you got to take out all three, man.
Yeah, I got to work on cloud storage. That's what I got to figure out, how to get everything on the cloud.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that we have jabbered on long enough.
Yes.
So let's call this episode of Backseat Box Office. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you for Scott and Kugron for showing up. We love having you guys. And we'll be interested to see what you guys pick for week number 3 of the season. All right.
All right.
Say?
Good night, everybody.
All right. Good night. And we will catch you next week.
Go watch a movie.
Goodbye.